And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, from Bergen-Belsen to Wuppertal, is by Erwin Gonschak.
Is it much further?
No. It's only a mile or two down the road. It is the rain that slows down the bicycles. That is why it seems longer.
Perhaps it is right that it should rain on this day, that the heavens should cry, that all should cry.
I see that you have a poet's soul, but perhaps more than tears are needed now.
How did you learn of the pilgrimage?
I heard from the youth associations of Lender.
My pastor told me.
Where are you from?
Köln.
I'm from Düsseldorf.
Have you ever been to this place before?
Once, on another youth pilgrimage.
And what does it look like?
You wouldn't think it had been a concentration camp before. Pines and birches have been planted where the barracks once stood. But the trees are not much higher than you can reach.
And there is nothing else?
The burial mounds, of course.
Oh.
And a scattering of gravestones erected by relatives. The obelisk of the memorial, and the wall of wailing.
With hundreds of other youths from all over Germany, I am on my way to place flowers on the mass graves at Bergen-Belsen. But why? What does this mean to me? This question first began to bother me when a newspaper reporter came into my classroom at school the other day.
As your teacher has told you, I'm a reporter, and I'm making a special survey for my newspaper. I have only one question to ask. What do you know about Hitler?
Hitler revived Germany.
He did away with unemployment and built the Autobahn.
He sold badges to get power.
He ruled from 1933 to 1945.
After the war, people said everything Hitler did was bad, and they pointed to ruin and chaos everywhere. But now people come again and say it was not so bad after all. Some even say it was good. I don't know. Anyway, he's dead.
Nazism was a movement discarding all existing values of humanity, ethics, and human dignity. Hitler's ideology was a pseudoscience concocted of anti-Semitism, socialism, and nationalism latent in the German people at that time.
Hitler built autobahns and ended unemployment, which was good. He started the war, which was not so good. He lost the war, and that was worse.
I listened to my class and I said nothing. For what did I know of Hitler's time? I asked my pastor about Hitler, and he said I should go to Bergen-Belsen to see for myself, and I should ask many questions and listen attentively to the answer given. Why do you put flowers on the grave?
This is something one must do.
But why?
Haven't you read the diary of Anne Frank?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Then you should know that she was as young as we are when her life was so horribly ended in this place. She died because others had decided to destroy her people.
Will the flowers help now?
There are more than flowers here. There is the determination that never again among our people must such a disease and inhuman hatred arise.
Herr, why do you stand in the rain?
To watch the ceremony.
Were you here when Bergen-Belsen was a concentration camp?
I lived in the city of Belsen, but no one told us what was here. All we saw were the boxcars going in, the security police, and the smoke from the chimneys. We knew the government was doing secret work here, but that was all.
But you didn't know what was going on. Why am I here? Maybe this will explain. I read that one day when Anna Frank was at Auschwitz, she saw a group of Hungarian children standing naked in the freezing rain, waiting for hours to be taken into the gas chambers, not understanding what the adult world was going to do to them. Anna stood by the fence and watched the children, and then she, who had suffered so much, whispered, "Oh, look, their eyes." Here, may I ask what you are doing?
Doing, as you see, taking a spadeful of earth, of ashes.
Whose ashes are these?
Do we know, can we tell? The remains of the murdered of a generation ago. And perhaps the ashes of the little Anna Frank girl.
But why do you do this?
Well, these ashes are to be put into an urn and sent from Bergen-Belsen to Wuppertal.
Wuppertal?
Yeah, for a special purpose.
What purpose?
Listen, junges Mädchen, even though the grass is green here and the trees grow to the sky,
you will find only death and despair at Bergen-Belsen. But at Wuppertal, there is new hope, there's new life.
And how does one go from here to there?
There are roads.
Pastor, Pastor, I am making a journey to Wuppertal. Do you know the road?
Ah, it is good your bicycle is sturdy, for the road to Wuppertal is long. But there are places on the way where you can stop.
I hope to find answers to my questions at Wuppertal.
If that is the case, then I suggest that you first go to Aachen. That is a city in Germany near the Belgian and Holland border. Speak to the little children there. They may be able to help you.
Hello there.
Hello.
What's your name?
Edward.
How old are you?
Seven.
Edward, what are you doing?
Drawing a picture.
Of what?
Can't you see? These are houses. Blue, brown, orange, green, red, yellow. These are trees and flowers. And there's a chimney and smoke. And this is a sign. And these are people.
It's a village, my friend. The European village at Aachen.
I am their father. I can tell you a little, perhaps, of what you wish to know. I'm Polish. I was brought to Germany during the war to do forced labor. And at the end of the war, I was in a displaced persons camp in Hanover. Well, there, I met my wife. She, too, had been brought to Germany by the SS when she was your age to do forced labor in the factories.
Yes.
Well, after the war, we did not want to return to Poland because of the government. In January of 1957, we came to the European village. As you see, it is a small village for DPs attached to the city. And it's made small, so it does not become a ghetto, but instead a part of the city.
And you like it here?
Yes, we live in this comfortable house. I work in town as a locksmith, and the children go to a good school. We are forgetting the life of the camps.
But have you not tried to emigrate to another country? The New World? The United States? Canada?
We tried, Jevchina, but my wife's lungs are poor, so they would not take us.
So that is my purpose, Christina. I have been to Bergen-Belsen, and I have seen what could be seen. But it is Wuppertal that I am seeking. Do you know the road there?
Do you see my brother's drawing of the village? This man here is the founder of these villages. Do you notice? Edvard draws him with a white priestly habit and a smiling face. It is Father Pierre. He will show you the way.
So I have taken another road, and it leads across the border of my country to Belgium,
to the small town of Huy, located in the southeastern part of the country, in the Meuse Valley, where the Walloon language is spoken. This is where Father George Pierre, a Dominican priest, makes his home.
Pierre is expected shortly back from his retreat at the monastery. Please, jeune fille, take a seat, and I shall try to answer any questions you may have.
I see that the father has a picture of Anna Frank in his office. May I ask what she means to him? Can you tell me?
Oh, you must ask him that question yourself. But do you see the frame on his desk with the words of Anna Frank?
Things will change, and men become good again. And these pitiless days will come to an end, and the world will once more know order, rest, and peace.
He is working for the realization of Anna Frank's dream. Père Pierre has also known many cruel days. When he was 4 and a half, he escaped with his family from the small town of Dinant during the invasion of Belgium by the Germans. And in the course of one day, the invaders shot 800 civilians, 50 children under 3 years of age. Among the murdered was his grandfather. And, of course, during the Second World War, his country was destroyed again by Germans.
So, as other men, he had reason to hate.
Oh, yes, jeune fille. But instead of hate and revenge, Père Pierre has built his life on love and the need for atonement.
I wait for Father Pierre, I make another trip. But this one is in my mind's eye, for I am not able to travel with my bicycle into the past, and to the country of Norway and the city of Oslo.
President Monsieur Gundayan will make the presentation.
Gentlemen, although Father Pierre's work for refugees is an action to heal the wounds of war, yet for him, it is more. In his own words, his work aims to build a bridge of light and love in place of the hateness and uncertainty of colonialism, anti-colonialism, and race opposition. And yet, even that is not all. It aims further. It hopes to encourage and develop by action, a fraternal spirit among all peoples and all races. This is, in fact, the very thought expressed by Alfred Nobel in his testament, where he says that the Peace Prize is to be awarded to him who will have worked most and best to unite all people in a spirit of brotherliness. It is why the Nobel Committee of the Norwegian Storting has the honor and the pleasure to confer the Peace Prize for 1958 to Reverend Father George Pierre.
So you have come to see me on your way to Wuppertal.
Yes, Father Pierre.
You must remember, ma jeune fille, that my subject is misery, and there is no excitement in that.
I am not seeking excitement. What I am seeking, well, I'm not sure of. But I know that my country has had enough excitement.
Come over to the map. I will show you what we are trying to do. A map of Europe, divided in two by the Iron Curtain, will show you one characteristic of the countries from which the DPs, my people, come. They all lie to the east of the Iron Curtain.
In school, we often speak of this line.
Yes, but on the same map, one can also trace a second line, which very few people speak of. That is the curtain of Western egoism, running along the eastern frontiers of Holland, Luxembourg, Belgium, France, and Switzerland. It marks the farthest west the refugees may go. Therefore, their no man's land consists of Western Germany, Austria, and Italy.
But, Father, the Western countries have taken into their territories many refugees.
Yes, the able-bodied workers, but not the remainder. 200,000, the hardcore, the very old, the very sick, girl mothers and their children, those who have been in prison for whatever reason. These have been driven in despair. There is no one to say, make yourself at home. They have been uprooted and have lost everything which served to identify them. Home, neighborhood, church.
But you and others have done much to help them.
There is much more to be done. For as Newton said, men build too many walls and not enough bridges. And I tell you, I have seen these walls in many places.
But there is hope.
Oh, yes. For example, a town which 2 years ago was beseeching me to go away with my refugees wrote me just recently when we were laying the first stone of the Albert Schweitzer village in the Saar.
It is with the greatest joy that I assure you that the inhabitants of the European village have mixed well with our population and support our authorities with friendship. May the future see a real blessing on your work and its continuation in peace and quietness.
Father Pierre has suggested that I next travel north from Belgium to the city of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. But before I left, I asked him about Anne Frank, and what he said has given added direction to my journey.
I will tell you this. Deep in my heart, the name of the sixth European village bears the name of the little Jewish girl whom a French newspaper called the world's cherished child. For what purpose did Anne Frank die? What is her message to us at the hour of death? This is the question I am bringing before the conscience of Europe. For my conscience has found an answer to the question.
Mr. Otto Frank?
Yes?
Father Pierre told me to see you. I'm on my way to Wuppertal.
I see. Please, come in.
Each year, I've learned, the city of Frankfurt celebrates the birth of your daughter Anna on June 12th. But you do not attend these ceremonies.
No, my young girl, I do not.
And although hundreds of thousands have seen the play about your daughter, you have not done so.
No.
But why is this?
I have tried in every way to keep the memory of my family alive, but some things I cannot do.
Father Pierre has explained his plans to you?
The father told me that he thought the death of Anna would be less disgraceful if, in memento, the former enemies and allies would combine their goodwill and offer a village for displaced persons in her name.
And he asked a favor of you?
Yeah, he wanted to know if I would be there when he laid the first stone of the village Anna Frank. Even if the village should be built in Germany.
Mr. Frank, may I ask what your answer was?
I told the good father, yes, I would be there.
I have reached the end of my my journey. This is the Ruhr Valley in Germany, and I am to call on an editor of a local paper in the city of Wuppertal.
To answer your question is very simple. The suggestion to erect an Anne Frank village in Wuppertal originated from the city elder, Karl Eber.
Yes.
He has read that Father Pier intended to build a European village in the vicinity of Cologne, Düsseldorf, so he recommended to the city council that the village be built in Wuppertal.
And how did they receive this proposal?
Well, the city council unanimously voted to offer the site of such a village free of any cost. And since then, other citizens from Germany, boys and girls too, and people from other countries, have offered money and labor to build the village.
Herr, please tell me, what does all this mean to the people who live in the city? To you?
We feel responsible for all the cruelties committed in the name of the German people. And we believe that the village will stand as a constant reminder of our need to atone.
I see. But the village is small. 5 houses. 20 families.
It is a beginning, meine junge Freundin, a beginning on the road back.
The ceremonies at Wuppertal will start soon. Representatives from all over Western Europe are here. 5,000 of the townsfolk have turned out. On the platform, I see the German officials, Father Pier, Mr. Frank, and the urn containing the ashes from the grave at Bergen-Belsen.
Exactly 15 years ago, a very little girl, 14-year-old, was writing a diary, shut in already for 22 months in an attic of Amsterdam, in fear of men who at times preferred their racial prejudice to a gentle, humane fraternity. 1 year later, this little girl had joined what Heinrich Powell called the Nation of the Dead, whose princes are the assassinated children. We must recognize the need to build a better world, a Europe of the heart, in which little children can live in peace. But it would be no use to be reunited here today, concentrating our thoughts on Anne Frank and indulging sentimental dreams about peace, without seeing the hard facts of life, such as assassination, instinct for war, racial and religious discrimination in every form. Fortunately, there is the optimistic trend of thought expressed by Anna in her eyes. I believe in the inborn kindness of mankind. Every day I receive letters from Germany and all over the world, written by the good heart of mankind, offering to help. Anna, your simple love by heart indicates to us how much you are tired of love. The idea of your death will be less unbearable if the good-willed human beings would group themselves around that thought to ensure the victory of life over death, of good over evil, of peace over destruction. It is you who wrote these lines, which we shall make to be ours today.
I am absolutely unable to build everything on the basis of death, misery, and confusion. I see the world more and more transformed into a desert. I hear louder and louder the roaring of approaching thunder, probably announcing our death. I compassionate the pain of thousands of people. And yet, when I look up to heaven, I think that all this will change and that everything will come to an end and that the world will again know what is order, peace, and rest.
Today, Sunday the 31st, May 1959, at Wuppertal, there arises from the earth another European village to be called the Village Anne Frank, built by the aid to displaced persons with the help of friends from all over Europe. In order that our uprooted brethren may have a heart, a task, and friends, and thus find roots again in the good human earth.
I am going home now. The long journey has been made. Soon I shall see my classmates, and they will ask me what I have seen and what I have learned. And I shall say, terrible crimes have been committed against God and man, and we must begin to atone for them. We owe this to you, Anne Frank, and to all who have suffered.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting the Reverend George B. Ford, Pastor Emeritus of Corpus Christi Church in New York City. Father Ford.
The village Anne Frank at Wuppertal and the trees and green grass at Bergen-Belsen, expressive as they are of hope and beauty, must never be permitted to obliterate from the memory of man the measureless horrors their names will forever evoke. The lesson is obvious. Hatred of my fellow man, basically that despite many euphonies, inevitably ends in some sort of oven. If not physically, then of the mind, the heart, and the soul. These human qualities, too, can be seared, maimed, and killed when human rights and human decencies are suppressed or denied. Here at home, our most pressing moral and domestic problem is racial. And across the world, the recognition of human dignity, first and above all, would suggest our most generous national decisions. The response of all peoples to that incessant craving of the human spirit to be esteemed as a person would be instant and universal. And we as a people would be honoring in practice the compulsions of our political and spiritual principles and our proclaimed way of life.
Thank you, Father Ford. Our eternal light drama today, from Bergen-Belsen to Wuppertal, was written by Erwin Gonczak. Actor David Futterman sang the liturgical introduction. Franz Spanier was featured as the young traveler, and Father Pierre was played by Santos Ortega. Others in the cast were Roger DeCoven, Athena Lord, Gloria Avis, Guy Rep, William Mason, Dean Lyman Almquist, Bill Lipton, and Theodore Guest. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voussat. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.